Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Today is Palm Sunday, and we're going to be talking about the things that transpired during the week, but more importantly, the purpose of what Jesus came for. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 1, says, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, wherein never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do you do this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto him, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strewed them in the way. And they went before, and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Glory to God. When Jesus was entering Jerusalem this day, it was the beginning of the Passover. It was close to the Passover, the greatest of all the Jewish feasts. People from all over Israel made their pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate this holiday, commemorating God's mighty work when he delivered the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage during the days of Moses. It's been recorded that at different times during this Passover feast, and before the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, that over 2 million people would fill Jerusalem during the Passover week. Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day. Many in the crowd were those who had been touched by his ministry. They had been witnesses to the many miracles he had performed. Just a few days before this, he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And many of those who had witnessed that great miracle probably were in the crowd, among those singing Hosanna and shouting Hosanna. What a glorious day it must have been. The thing is, only Jesus knew what would happen there that week. Only Jesus knew how he would be treated, how he would die. But Jesus was on a mission. He had a purpose for what was transpiring. He didn't come merely to be a reformer of Israel or some radical rabbi. He didn't come to establish a political kingdom. Jesus came to fulfill God's purpose and God's will on the earth. Look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 38 through 40. He said, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which he has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Jesus knew his purpose. He knew what was going to happen to him. He knew that the same people that were shouting Hosanna were going to be some of the same people that were shouting crucify him. Well, how? Because we know people. Amen. Look at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 8. Verse 27. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Who do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto him, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. Jesus knew. He said, these things must happen. It wasn't that they might happen. It wasn't that they could happen. He said, these things must happen. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day, he was well aware that what was going to happen, that he was going to suffer, that he was going to hang on the cross, that he was going to die. Amen. He knew all these things. He knew the scriptures. He knew the prophecies written about him. He knew what was going to transpire that week that would ultimately lead up to the cross and lead up to his death and ultimately his resurrection. He knew what all of that meant to each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. Say, well, how did he know? Because he knew the scripture. He knew the prophecies that were written about him. Isaiah chapter 53. And we're going to read the whole chapter, and we'll go back and we'll touch on these things. Jesus knew he was going to suffer. He knew he was going to face rejection. He knew that he was going to end up being crucified. He knew that he was going to die and be separated from God. When he rode into Jerusalem that day, he knew that it was coming to pass. Amen. As we celebrate Holy Week this week, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, we need to do this week, keep in mind what Jesus came to accomplish for us. As we take communion today, we want to remember why we're taking communion. It's not just a ritual. It's something that's very symbolic. It's something that should mean something to us. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53, 1 through 12, the King James Version reads, Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify in many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he has numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus came and did all these things for us. Amen. It says in Isaiah 53:6 there, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 8 says, for the transgression of my people, he was stricken. Hallelujah. He did that for you. He did that for me. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. The Amplified Version reads, but God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's simple. We strayed, we sinned, we turned from God. We were the ones that were guilty. We were the ones who had sinned. And yet, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4, he who knew no sin, he bore the guilt, he bore the shame, and he bore the punishment of our sins for us. That's what these verses are saying. All through Isaiah, he writes about the vicarious nature of Jesus' suffering. 12 times in the 9 verses, he talks about it. Vicarious, if you look it up, the definition for vicarious is performed or suffered by one person as a substitute for another, to benefit or to the benefit or the advantage of another. Jesus suffered for us. Amen. So that we didn't have to. Glory to God. It's taking another person's load. It's taking their pain. It's taking their grief. It's taking their affliction. That's what Jesus did for us. He took all of that.
Praise God.
Amen. When he was on the cross, all that was poured out upon him. The sins of the whole world. Just think about how we feel when we sin. And how we beat ourselves up and how down we feel about it. Just think about having the sins of everybody in this room poured upon you. Just think about having the sins of everybody in Bowersville poured upon you. Or Greene County. What, just take it. the sins of the whole world. Everybody that's ever lived, everybody that's ever going to live, it was poured out upon Jesus at that point in time. He suffered vicariously for us so that we didn't have to. Amen? There's seven different ways that Isaiah the prophet, through the unction of the Holy Spirit, points out where Jesus suffered vicariously for us. The first one is in verse 4. As we take communion today, we need to reflect on these things. Verse 4, it says, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted." The word infirmities has been, it's also translated affliction, pain, and suffering. The word born there, when it says he borne our infirmities, means to carry, to take away. Jesus took them away. Yes. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, it says that Jesus took all that away. You're accepting everything that he did for you. Everything that he went through that day for you. Your griefs. It's the word kole. It's a malady, anxiety, calamity, disease, grief, sickness, to be weak, sick, or afflicted. He took all those things and carried them. Amen? Took them to the cross and he nailed them to the cross. It says in Colossians, the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us, he nailed them to the cross. Everything that you have ever done, everything that you have ever will do, every sin that you've ever committed, every sin that you will commit until you go home to be with the Lord, Jesus carried it to the cross and he suffered the penalty for that sin upon himself. Praise the Lord. The Young's literal translation writes, "Surely our sicknesses he has borne." The Amplified Version says, "Surely he has borne our griefs, sickness, weakness, and distress." Jesus carried our infirmities on the cross as if they were his infirmities, our pains as if they were his pains, and our sicknesses as if they were his sicknesses. Praise the Lord. Number two, he carried our sorrows. He bore every mental and emotional hurt that you've ever experienced or you ever will experience. He took it to the cross. The word carried is the word kabal, and it means that he bore our sorrows along. He literally drug them. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, when it talks about that he began to be plunged and he was deeply distressed and he was deeply depressed. All that began to come upon him because he knew what was going to happen to him. He said, "Father, not my will, but your will. Can this cup be removed from me? I really don't want to go through what I know I'm going to have to go through." Amen. Amen. Sorrows, physical pain, mental pain. He entered into every pain, every sorrow, every grief, every depression that we might face someday. He was going through all that, but it says we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. Those people who delivered Jesus up to death felt that God was punishing him. That's why he looked so bad. That's why he was suffering so much, was that they felt that he was a sinner, that he was a blasphemer. The philosophy of the Jews at that time, and many still people today, if you're going through something and you're suffering something, there must be sin in your life. No. Jesus suffered everything and looked like he did and suffered like he did is because of everything that was being poured out upon him. Amen. They had never seen anybody suffer like he was suffering. Remember, they'd seen crucifixions all the time. It was routine for them. Death and suffering were common in those days. But nobody had ever seen anybody that looked like that. Hold your place in Isaiah. Turn over to Psalm 22. Psalm 22, 14. Psalm 22, 14. Well, let's start in verse 12. It says, many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They've pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste to thee to help me. Look at back to Isaiah 52, verse 14. Says, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than thee, the sons of men. The New Living Translation of Isaiah 52 says, many were amazed when they saw him beaten and bloodied, so disfigured one could scarcely know he was a person. That's what Jesus did for us. Amen. On the cross, Jesus bore in his body every kind of sickness and every mental anguish. He knew the pain of cancer. He knew the pain of a sore throat. He knew the pain of pneumonia. He knew what it felt like to have the flu, what it felt like to have broken bones. Jesus experienced what it was like to have leprosy, heart disease, lung disease. He experienced every kind of sickness and disease that has been discovered and is yet to be discovered. He took it all. There's nothing that Jesus didn't go through that man has suffered with that he didn't experience. Amen? Bearing all of this and looking like he did, the Jews thought he was being punished by God. But Jesus endured it all. Amen? When you get sick, distressed, depressed, sorrowful, even feel hopeless, never question whether or not Jesus knows what you're going through. He knows. He has felt what you feel. He sat where you sit. He bore our griefs and our sorrows. Amen. The third thing, it says, he was pierced for our transgressions. Amen. Wounded for our transgressions. You ever noticed how easy it is to sin? We have to be taught how to talk, how to walk, how to feed ourselves, how to do arithmetic. Nobody has to teach us how to sin. Comes naturally. Amen? Someone once said, we are not sinners because we sin. Rather, we sin because we are sinners. No matter how moral or religious we are, we still sin. You sin, I sin, we all sin. The Bible declares there is none righteous, no, not one. Jesus suffered and died due to our sins. The Bible says he was pierced for our transgressions. He was pierced by the thorns in his brow, the tapered iron spikes that were driven into his hands and his feet, as well as the spear that was thrust into his side. The word translated wounded in some versions or pierced in others, it literally means to defile, to profane, to desecrate something which is holy. Jesus willingly took upon himself the sins of the entire world. The Holy Son of God allowed himself to be defiled, allowed himself to carry every sin that was ever committed by mankind upon him. It was all upon Jesus. For our sins, he was pierced. The fourth thing, vicariously, that he suffered, he was crushed for our iniquities. The picture that the prophet Isaiah paints here is someone that has the very life being pressed out of them by the weight of the world. Amen? Our sins, that carrying that weight of everyone's sin was so heavy that life was just being crushed out of him. His heart was crushed beneath the awful load that he, the sin bearer, was bearing for us. He suffered right up to the point of death. Number five, it says the chastisement that of our peace was upon him. Another translation reads, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Our sins blocked the way to any hope of reconciliation with the Lord. Yet on the cross, Jesus paid the necessary price to restore fallen man to God. Amen? Colossians chapter 1. Hold your place there in Isaiah. And turn to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 20. Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Glory to God. The God's Word translation says, God, in verse 20 says, God was also pleased to bring everything on earth and in heaven back to himself through Christ. He did this by making peace through Christ's blood sacrificed on the cross. The Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, he canceled the debt that had been leveled against us. He bore in his own body the penalty for our sins. He dealt a decisive blow against Satan and all the kingdom of darkness. He purchased salvation for a lost world. He signed a peace treaty for fallen humanity with God. The great news of the gospel is that there is a path to a relationship with God to open to everybody who accepts it. He provided us with His well-being and with His peace while He hung on the cross. The chastisement of our peace. You need peace? Jesus provided it for you. Amen? Through the cross. He suffered so that you could have peace. Praise the Lord. And then back in Isaiah, in verse 5, it says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Besides being cruelly beaten by hand and fist and slapped repeatedly with a reed, He was also whipped unmercifully in Pilate's court. I mean, who can ever forget that scene from the Passion of the Christ? I mean, I can't even hardly bear to watch it. I remember we went to the movies and seen that at Fairfield Commons, and people walked out of there just hushed, just stunned, because I think it was so real. It brought to reality what Jesus went through on the cross and before the cross. Amen? The beating that He took. This beating was accomplished by tying Him to a post and stripping Him naked and striking Him with that leather whip. And if you remember the coat of nine tails, it had several braided strips of leather on it, and it had pieces of bone and pieces of steel and different things in there that it would not only bruise you when it hit, but it would sink into your flesh and it would rip flesh out when they pulled it. The purpose of the scouring was to bring the victim to a point just short of collapse or death. Jesus went through that for your healing. Never question that Jesus wants you to be healed. Read Isaiah 53. Amen. Says, by His stripes we are healed. Not that we're going to be someday, that we are healed. Amen. Peter says, you were healed because it's past, it's settled. And after He took that beating, they laid the cross upon His raw back. I mean, just think about that. You ever had a cut on your hand and you're trying to do something and you hit that cut and you're like, ooh, man, I can't even grip that. His back was ripped apart, was ripped to shreds. He was bleeding so bad. His visage was so marred from the beating that He took and them hitting that crown of thorns that you couldn't even recognize Him as a man. And then they laid this cross upon Him that He was having to drag. Why did He do all that? He did it for you and He did it for me. Say that out loud. He did it for me.
He did it for me.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Our healing. He not only bore our sicknesses, He provided victory over them. 1 Peter 2:24 says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds or His stripes, you have been healed. The Message paraphrase says, His wounds became your healing. The New King James Version says, by whose stripes you were healed. The New Living Translation says, you have been healed by His wounds. The New Contemporary Version says, you are healed because of His wounds. And God's Word Translation says, His wounds have healed you. By His stripes we are what?
Healed.
By His stripes we're what?
Healed.
Hallelujah. And the number seven thing, he was stricken. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. In verse 5, we saw he was wounded or pierced for our transgressions. Here, he is stricken because of them. There's a difference. The first spoke of pain and of suffering. This one speaks of facing death itself. It means to be cut off, to be cut in two, to destroy, to exterminate. Amen? He was stricken. Jesus suffered death. He didn't escape death like some cults out there say. No, he died. He suffered separation from God. That's why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he'd never experienced that before. He'd never experienced being separated from God the Father. And when all the sins of the world, our sins, were poured out upon him, and he went through all that, God could only look away and separate himself from that. And Jesus died physically. Amen. He died upon that cross. Jesus faced it on the cross, but the good news is that he defeated it. He faced death. He experienced death, but he defeated it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We don't have to be afraid of death anymore. 1 Corinthians 15:54 says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you're not happy already, I don't know what's wrong with you. Amen. You should be happy. Yes, it's a somber thing, but Jesus did all this for you. He did it for me. As we go through this week and we talk about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem that day and everybody singing Hosanna, glory to God in the highest, Jesus knew what was coming. Amen. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen this Holy Week, this Passion Week. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus endured each and every pain that was ours to suffer. In each and every area that we suffer, he didn't leave anything out. He didn't miss anything. He was tempted or tested in every area as we are, so that he could provide victory in every area. Hallelujah. That was the purpose for which he rode into Jerusalem that day. Many may have looked upon that event as a coronation, and the events that followed later that week as a defeat and a tragedy. But the word says that's what the plan and purpose of God was that day when he rode in Jerusalem, and it ended up in victory. Amen? The death of Jesus was unlike any other death that has ever been. It wasn't an accident in the course of his being. Death was his very reason for living. Suffering, what he went through, was his very reason for taking upon him flesh. It was his purpose for coming to the earth in the first place. Dying on the cross was his chosen purpose. Hallelujah. As we get ready to finish up with a worship song this morning, and then we'll take communion. The real point this morning is not what the people did to him. In the end, it's rather what God did for us. Jesus Christ did not die a victim. He died our Savior. He wasn't forced by brute power, by the Roman Empire, by the Jews of his day. He went to the cross. He was forced and compelled to go to the cross because of the love of God. He didn't go kicking or screaming. He freely gave his life for us. Amen. John 10, 17 and 18 declares, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for everything that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. And the Lord, we're just so thankful that he did it for me. That we can all say that. That he did it for me. And Lord, we're making it personal. He didn't do it for somebody else. He didn't do it for somebody down the pew from me or somebody sitting in the back of the church or in the sound booth. He did it for me. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that. We exalt you in this place today. And we give you all the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.